Southern trees bear strange fruit. Blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees.
Oh man, ooh, Billy.
Man, that still
Billy
hits.
Billy Holiday was before
that will
her
never
time.
Not hit.
Right. There are like the yes. I mean, that was a poet, yes. But, like poetry mixed with Billy Holiday's voice. Created something that I don't even like. It's just iconic, and she's. I'm so happy. We were playing that because obviously,
Audra
Day. Congrats! Audra Day.
I'm so sorry, Audra Day. She won the Golden Globe, right?
Yep.
For yes. This, congrats, this performance queen. Of Billie
Holiday. And yeah, like awesome. I mean, it's just incredible. And
yeah,
Billie Holiday so deserves it. I don't think she was really celebrated as much as she should have been.
Oh,
so
definitely
I'm super
not.
Excited.
Yeah, definitely. I haven't watched the movie yet, but I'm excited too. It's one of those things that I have to kind of prepare my stomach for because
sure.
I just know that Billie Holiday's story is so heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But also in that documentary that I was talking about a couple weeks ago or last week, How It Feels to Be Free, mm-hmm. they do talk about Billie Holiday in that as well. So watch both of those, you guys.
Yeah, we're really set up for these bringing back the speakeasy 1930s style stuff. Are we bringing back these 1930s jazz bands? Because I'm all
yes.
about it.
Oh,
we got
absolutely.
The Rainey's Black Bottom.
Yes.
We got Billie Holiday
yes.
movies.
Guys.
I'm like, let's do
it's
it.
It's about
next
to be the roaring
like,
20s, my friends.
I'm,
I will dress in a
it.
Fucking ball gown or suit
I was,
wherever I go, whenever I want to.
Right?
No.
Absolutely. That's all
much.
I want. Give me a pixie cut and let me be sweaty on top of a table as a jazz
I'm
band
saying.
Face.
Yes.
Because that is where my spirit constantly
I
lives.
Live
and they did a Bessie Smith one too. Didn't Queen Latifah play her?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
They need to do one on Big Mama Thornton. I don't know where they're
doing. They do need to do one on Big Mama Thornton.
That.
Wow.
Yes.
Big
And
she was known for wearing 3-piece suits.
Yes. Yes,
actually, most of these women were bisexual, so they were
yes.
very much ahead of the game. As
you
far
should
as,
also
like,
watch.
Speaking
I mean,
about women and masculinity and being able to wear what you want to wear, they were those first women who were like, "I don't give a fuck."
Absolutely, and if you guys, another thing you should watch. She wasn't a singer, but an amazing comedian, Moms Mabley,
yes.
was another incredible artist who was a lesbian and who like full on wore like decked out suits when she wasn't on stage. Yeah, dope. And with all that said, hey y'all, welcome to the Black Board Collective presents Justice and Juice. We got very curious.
Yes.
Right here. I am Casey, and you guys, let me tell you, I'm following the rules today. What am I not drinking? Okay,
let's go north.
I have my breakfast smoothie because it's early. We're doing this early again today. And because we're doing it early, I also needed a spot of coffee, right? And then I also have water because you got to stay hydrated. Your black will crack if it's dry. Shout out to Kia. And then I have a Brut. I'm drinking a bit of Brut with bitters and a splash of lemon juice.
Oh my gosh, yum.
Okay. Way to celebrate the day.
She said,
thank
it's
you so
Tuesday.
Much. It's my personal holiday.
Yes.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, yeah.
I love that.
Great. I also have like my Coolio twist going on. They're half up, half down. I was like,
yes.
You know what? That's just what I feel today.
Truly iconic.
So
Coolio, what's the song that just came to my brain, but I can't think of
I can't
like,
think
I
of his song.
Right,
I can just think of his face. I just remember him coming
yeah,
very close
like
to the camera during
there's
his
a
music
movement
video.
That happens when you think of Coolio, but the
yeah.
song isn't quite.
I feel like he's consistently happens. Like jumping toward the camera. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's accurate.
Paige, can you hear me?
Yes, now I can. Yes.
What are you drinking?
What's up, y'all? It's Paige. I am again drinking a grapefruit LaCroix and water. And that's it, because I have a lot of schoolwork to do after we record this podcast. I also, real quick, I meant to pop this in, but we were just having such a good time talking about Billie Holiday. If you guys want to know more about Billie Holiday and her story, and then kind of the way that like Black activists in particular were treated during those times, during the 60s, and honestly now, there's a podcast called American Scandal. It's got like 22, 23 seasons. Season 21 is all about the feds versus activists. And they talk about Billie Holiday, Fred Hampton, Martin Luther King. Like, they talk about a lot of stuff. It's a really well-produced podcast. So I just wanted to shout them out real fast. It's a Wondery. It's like Wondery produced. So it's really well done. And it has like a ton of information about Billie Holiday and the whole story if you're interested in that story.
Nice. Yes. Thank you for that. Go off on I just that. Said, I realized I said shout out to Kia earlier as if she's my friend. She is a host of another podcast. So I should just say what she hosts a podcast called Getting Grown.
Oh my gosh, fun.
And she's amazing. So hi, Kia. Nice to meet you.
Hi, my friend Kia.
I love your promotion of water.
Laska, that's it.
So
Laska, talk to me. Tell me.
What you drinking?
Okay, I didn't know.
She was like, she forgot what we were here for. Like, I'm we so said Laska, and she was like, huh?
Yeah.
Like,
I dipped. My brain was like out. What's up, everybody? Laska here, activist, artist, asshole, Aquarius. I have water today. This is what I have. I have to drink water. I have to keep up with my 8 glasses a day. Doing my best.
Do it.
I wanted to say doing my best to save the rainforest, but that didn't make sense, but it did come to my mind. You guys aren't getting the reference, are you?
No.
Just doing my part to save the rainforest. Nobody knows what that's from?
Fern Gully?
No, what is that from?
Superstar with Molly Shannon.
Oh.
Really I stupid was, movie, but yeah, I yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of that movie.
I really enjoyed that movie. I used to watch it all the time, but that's just like not the quote that we quoted. My sister and I would always go, well, at least my parents didn't name me after bottled water.
Yeah. That's my favorite. That's I can quote that entire movie. It's my favorite.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
It's like one of those movies that's so dumb.
You know, yeah. Yeah. Funny. I didn't like understand that it was an SNL skit before it was a movie. Yes, so, because when I saw it, like, it came out when I was like 9. And so I was like, very good.
Like, let me watch this movie.
Yeah.
I wanna know.
And my sister and I would watch it, and we were just like, why are these adults pretending to be high school students? Like, this is so weird.
Right.
But we loved
it. They're definitely not high school. Yeah, they definitely were high school. That's what's so funny. Like, obviously.
Yeah, it's the best.
I call this one the Fat Machine. All right.
Amazing.
Will Ferrell.
Amazing.
Dumb. Oh, my God.
Alaska, do you have a black business for us?
Oh, let's celebrate our black business this week. The only thing about this.
We celebrate you.
We celebrate you.
Very good.
Thank you for that.
Iconic.
I hope they're listening.
I hope you're listening.
So this is a small black business out of Brooklyn, New York. And I think like right now, a lot of small businesses are taking like heavy impacts by COVID. So their shop is not open, but you can look and buy things online. So I just want to go over like what they are, what they do, and I'll give you guys their email address and you can reach out, and their website. And you can go ahead and take a look and go through and buy some stuff. Anyways, they are called BLK MKT Vintage. They are Brooklyn, New York based antique vintage concepts shop specializing in collectibles, cast-offs, and curiosities, which represent the richness of black history and lived experience. This is like so cool. When I saw this, I was like freaking out. I was like, this has got to be like the only thing of its time, like the only thing of any, I've never heard of this, like a vintage store. First of all, I'm like a huge history buff, so I was geeking out. I could like sit in museums, you know, and like through antique shops forever. But ones that are like specifically about black history, I'm like, yeah.
You guys, I can't wait till we can travel together and just go to museums.
Yes.
That'll be amazing. I love that we all love museums. Wiz, do you love museums?
You know, I do love museums. I haven't been to any LA museum. So Casey, would you want to do like a museum tour of LA?
Yes.
Alaska, would you want to do something? I've never been to like the Getty or any of that stuff.
Isn't God, the villa. I did a play at the Getty Villa, and like that museum is just the most beautiful, but the actual Getty Museum too. Yeah, let's go. Let's do it.
Let's do that. Anyways, continuing.
Sorry.
So anyways, this is like really cool that they have this vintage antique shop that is specifically about black history and lived black experiences.
Yeah.
I think that's so specific and so incredible. And like, what a way, you know, for a country that kind of stripped black culture away from people to be able to bring, you know, Black artifacts and Black culture back to the people. I think, like, what a way to give back to the community, like, your period. But anyways, it's curated by founders Jana Handy and Kiana Stewart. The collection includes found items like vintage literature, vinyl records, clothing, wow, art, houseware, decor, furniture, and other goods. By centering Black cultural artifacts via thoughtful curation and varying modes of accessibility, we're communicating very explicitly to Black folks that, quote, not only do we see you, but we love you as well. You're worthy. What you've created is worthy. You are important here. So, like, support this small business in Brooklyn. Yeah. Like, I'm sure they have such, and like, I've gone through, and they have some really, really cool stuff. You guys got to go on their website. Their website is blkmktvintage.com. And if you'd like to email them, I also pulled that up. Their email is blkmktvintage@gmail.com. So go ahead and, you know, support this Black business, give them a shout out, and get you some Black rich artifacts.
Yes. Like, you know, we love that's that. That's amazing. Cool. That's such a cool business.
I'm looking at their website right now, and just on the homepage is this vintage magazine with Lorraine Hansberry on the front. And right. I am living. Like, you guys, I might have been Lorraine Hansberry. Like, maybe I was her.
Absolutely.
I feel very close to her. Every time I see her, I get so excited.
Listen, I believe that we have like multiple past lives within our body. Like, that sounds crazy, but I feel like I jump through multiple people all the time. Like, yeah, seriously, I feel so connected to some like very specific things, and I wonder why.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, so I think it also has to do with like what you're afraid of too. Like, I grew up in Colorado, yeah, and I have a deathly large fear. I don't know if that's deathly large. I don't know. But I'm scared to death of tornadoes. But like, tornadoes don't happen in Colorado that often. And so I was like, I think in my past life, I'm pretty sure I died by a tornado.
So in your past life, you were Dorothy.
Oh my God. Wizard of Oz is my favorite movie. So
I can't make carriages anymore.
I'm really randomly afraid of cars.
Oh. Explain.
Yeah.
You guys are not going to believe what I'm actually scared of. You guys are going to be like, what the?
Like, crossing streets is very uncomfortable for me.
Huh. Okay, that makes sense, though.
I'm very afraid of cars.
Living in LA is a weird flex, but I support you.
I mean, it better than living in New York. That's crazy.
New York
was really hard for me. For cars.
Sure.
My grandpa's from Uganda, and apparently when they all did the family trip to Africa, apparently the driving there is like, what? Like, they just don't even, they're so succinct to like driving, yeah, with people just walking,
yeah,
with like animals and things like that, that they don't even, you're, and my family was like, I almost threw up, like, stop, like, I was holding on to the thing. I was like, oh God, that sounds horrifying.
Yeah, that does not sound fun.
But you guys,
what happened? Are you still shopping? Yeah. You're still shopping. Casey, we are in a podcast. See, this is why you guys
okay, I'm gonna
MKT Black Vintage, because Casey's over here literally shopping. Go look now before she buys everything. And there's nothing they left have, to buy.
They have a vintage oversized Muhammad Ali versus Superman comic book from 1978.
Oh, wow.
Yo, that's so dope.
That is really cool.
I want
that. And they also, so hey, for people who love pins and like patches and things like that, like to put on your jackets or like, you know, put it, they have so many pins and like old vintage patches that you can add, you know,
if cool, you're like in a motorcycle gang. I love a pin.
I don't know.
You're like in a motorcycle gang.
Sorry, I just got some kombucha, so now I'm kind of drunk. See?
Absolutely. For all of our listeners in their motorcycle gangs, they got you over at Black Market.
They got
vintage.
You at Black Market Vintage. Okay. Oh, wow.
Well, great. Thank you for sharing that with us. I don't have the money that I need to spend on these things, and that makes me sad, but I'm excited to keep looking. When do we do Clapback Corner? Is it now or is it later?
Clapback, it's always time for Clapback Corner, personally.
Clapback Corner!
I agree. Yes.
There it is.
All right.
It's time.
So,
we need a wizard. We need like one of those... Like,
clap
your hands.
What are those?
Oh my God.
Just a lot of claps.
What did you just do with your body? I can find something.
Clap that corner.
I feel like it has.
Who wants to do that?
I'll be the one man band.
I feel like it has to be like clap back corner, pop, and then done. Like just one clap.
One clap, yeah.
You know?
I love how we're figuring this up now.
Yeah. The listeners That's very fine. Much care about this. Okay, anyway. Yeah. Okay,
so what I need you guys to do is I need each one of you to do your own clap back corner.
Okay.
Nice and clean, okay? So Casey, do you want to start? Do you want to do one?
Yeah. Clap back corner.
Clap back corner.
Clap back corner.
Now all at the same time. One, two, three.
Clap back corner. Guys, we really tried for you.
You know what? That's okay. If it means anything. She felt it. I felt it. We all felt it. Okay, so... on February 28th, AOC tweeted and said, "I don't care what Cruz said at CPAC, but I do care that it appears Texas was just a layover stop for him between Cancun and Orlando to drop a pack of water into someone's trunk and abandon his constituents again as they get slammed with $16,000 electrical bills."
Wow.
Dang.
Bam. And that's been Where's Clap the Back Corner.
That's how we have to do it.
You guys, I'm sorry. We've clapped at you so much. We just clapped all in your ear today.
A lot of clapping. Everyone's you know what? Wake up. We hope you're awake.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wake up, everybody.
I don't know any other words other than wake up, everybody.
That's okay.
Thank you so much. So, you guys, this past week, we had a cute little Syrian airstrike situation.
Very cute.
This past week, we bombed Syria.
Just like a casual bombing.
Really cute. Mm-hmm.
Just coming through.
So I wanted to get into that and how we feel about it. I know that there has been much debate in the Supreme Court of the Internet about what was
Scoti? Is that Scoti? Like, what is that? S-C-O-T-I? I like it.
Scoti. They reign supreme. Honestly, Scoti, like,
they,
makes all the rules.
They sure think they do.
They definitely do. So I was actually just reading up a bit about it. And it's so interesting that as I was reading, I was like, oh, this makes a little more sense as I read things. But it's also like, how much do we, like, how many articles would I have to read in order to get a full picture of,
right.
of like what's actually going on? And truly, like, our dealings in the Middle East have always been a bit of a mystery to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that we have various things like going on as far as like oil, like there was very malicious stuff going on before as like waging war as a means to gather oil from over there. But there's also been
rich people to pocket it.
And for rich people to pocket the money. But there's also been things where we have received substantial threats from groups over there and stuff like that. So like, it's hard to know. And I think that this is a part of the thing for me that I've said to you guys a lot is that like, I wish we were able to have more transparency mm-hmm. from our government about what, like what's going on with who and why. If we can just like have a big press conference to be like, okay, here's what's up. Because a lot of what I was reading just now was like, well, he chose the lesser of the strikes that he could. And it was because this group kept attacking our soldiers who were over there. And he did it on the Syria side because he was trying to avoid conflicts with Iraq, because we were also trying to, like, you know, deal with things with ISIS, like de-escalate that whole situation. So the framing of it sounds like he chose the lesser of the evils. And like, sure, I mean, war is not my thing. Militarism is not my thing. Why we have soldiers still over there, I don't know. So that's the part that gets like pretty mucky for me is like, I understand that if we were getting attacked by somebody, we do have to take a stand. We can't just let our soldiers, you know, die without helping them. But I also wonder why we still have soldiers over there. Like, what are we doing? Because I feel like they've been talking about pulling American soldiers out of the Middle East for
it so far, like, has barely anything to do with the American people as much as it has to do with the people who have interests over in other countries. It's just like my difficulty understanding why Americans, like, why our thing is like America, like, gotta protect our, you know, our our freedom and our, like, who the fuck is coming over here to take
our
freedom?
Who is threatening it?
First of all, if anybody's a bully, it's our country. We go over and, like, start bombing people and fucking up their lives. It, like, is... we need to focus on our own country. We have a lot of stuff to uproot and relearn here. I don't think we need to be over there trying to fuck with other people's lives.
It is the,
like,
most white male thing. It is the most white male thing.
It's down to it's like consistent imperialism. We know best. We know everything that's supposed to be happening, and our way is the only way. So we go in, and I mean, truly, like, we would have to really do, like, a whole episode on, like, the war in Iraq and, like, the, like, and have actual real research for me to be able to, like, truly pontificate about this. But, like, really, right. I mean, we've been in this war for 20 years. This has been a 20-year long conflict. And the fear of pulling troops out is that, oh no, like, what will they do? We haven't left them with, you know, we haven't left them with the bones of democracy that we were hoping to instill upon them. But, like, they didn't ask for that.
They didn't ask for that.
And leave a lot, like, truly, like, it's
if they need help and aid, they'll reach out to us for it. We don't need to go over there and, like, and the whether thing, it's good or bad, we don't need to go over there and do
the
that.
Thing that's crazy, just... though, is, like, when I believe it even was in Syria, when all of the, like, when there were, or maybe it was in Yemen, I can't remember, like, a couple years ago, it was either in Syria or Yemen, there was, like, mass casualties, and people were starving to, I think it was in Yemen, people were starving to death, and there were bombs and, like, all these things. People were in real peril, and we didn't do shit.
Yeah,
we didn't do anything.
Yes, and that is so. That's
a bit of a theme there. I mean, that's the
that's
theme, right?
The thing ahead, is Izzy. Like, I was saying, I was actually just thinking as you guys were talking, I was like, well, it's a slippery slope, because there are times where there are governments who are actually, like, really inflicting terrible pain on their own people. And in that situation, I'm like, damn, I don't necessarily want to be, you know, the country that turns a blind eye as people are like as genocide happens,
yeah,
as, like, mass genocide happens somewhere in the world. That I get. But also, to that point, even if we went somewhere to be like, hey, you can't just fucking kill people in droves, like, that's not cool, I still don't think that it's our place after we help them to say, well, now you also have to, you should live like this.
Mm-hmm.
This is the type of government you should have. This is the way that you should do. You know, like, I get making sure that the people are not being murdered, but there's this colonialist idea that because we go somewhere, it's like, okay, and now
we
you have to be
so.
Like us,
right?
Like,
also
it's
this
a very weird thing.
Also, this idea that America is this pure democracy when we have we have laws on the books and in the House of Representatives in Georgia already, it's moving to the state Senate. They've already passed voter suppression laws that are, like, blatant voter suppression. So really, America.
Oh, Arizona is on the precipice. The Supreme Court is on the precipice of holding up Arizona's voter suppression laws that really, like, target people of color.
So in a democracy, like, you have to have, like, everybody has to be able to participate in the system of government. So are we really the ones that should be going around and telling other countries how to run a democracy when we've never even really had one? Like a true...
No, we haven't mastered that.
Like a true and serious democracy where every single person that is affected by the system is benefited? Like, we've never had it.
You guys, have you been watching Amend?
Oh, yes.
On Netflix.
I think I talked about it last week on the podcast.
You did.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
And I probably said my dad told me to watch it. But yes.
It's
so... I've been watching it.
It's so well produced.
It's incredible.
It's so good.
And it also
what is it on again?
Netflix. It also just, like, is so maddening. And really further proves my point that we need a new constitution.
Yeah.
Say that again for the people in the back.
A new constitution. I will say it again. Watch What the Constitution Means to Me. Watch Amend. If you can leave either or both, especially both of those things, feeling like, yeah, I feel protected, then I don't know how to help you. Like,
then you're probably
what
a
I've learned.
Straight white person.
Right, because yes,
most likely.
Straight white man specifically, because like the
the wizard's like,
you're actually the wizard.
The wizard's like, well, sorry guys.
It's okay.
because realizing that the ERA bill
never been ratified.
Like, that was crazy to realize that. Like, I was like, really? We've been fighting the same fight since the 70s? Mm-hmm. Wait, so I still don't have rights as a woman? Like, it just never even, we've been fighting this fight for so long, and I've just been existing as a woman in 2021 thinking that I got rights, and I don't. Like on paper in the Constitution, I technically don't really have all the rights to my own body.
Mm-hmm. It's the same. It's the same with LGBTQ people. Like our community is not. We're not protected. We're not protected from anything, really. It's mostly just like withhold services or whatever. It's like this Supreme Court of the Internet is going to come for you, and liberals are going to come for you. But there's no laws on the books right now. That's why, like. The Equality Act. I cried when they passed the Equality Act. Like that is so important. And you know, I know that in the House, I'm like, cool. It's a pretty liberal House. Like we have the majority. In the Senate, our majority is so small, and we have two very conservative Democrats who are like holding everything up. So I always get stressed now that like things aren't going to pass through the Senate. But like, you know, let's like hope for the Equality Act. Look it up, guys. It's a really important and awesome, awesome bill and adds protections for LGBTQ youth, LGBTQ people, trans youth.
So important.
Yeah. It's just like, but like really when you think about it, like there are not actual real laws and like constitutional rights that minority communities have. Not all minority communities have been talked about in the Constitution. So then again, I ask you, is this really a democracy when every person isn't represented in our government? And it's not.
But also, let me ask you this. It's so amazing to me that we only need such explicit language because people took the 14th Amendment and like fucking stabbed every hole they could into, because technically the 14th Amendment should cover everyone. Mm-hmm. Like that's what it was for. But then we had a Supreme Court that upheld all of these decisions that essentially stripped away. And once a Supreme Court decision is made, it is cited forever as like, well, in this case, we decided this. So I guess that's the law, which why the, oh my God. Like,
have we talked about originalism on here yet? Because I have a real bone to pick with it.
I don't know what that is, essentially, but I feel like I'm about to pick a bone with
it. I'm on board.
It's.
I feel like I'm already picking a bone with it. I just didn't know it had a name.
You are picking a bone with it. It's called originalism. It's when a judge or a justice interprets the Constitution as a finite document and like doesn't give any leeway for newer times, like different things. So they look to me, I've always said it's like looking through, it's like buying a pair of glasses when you're 5 years old and wearing the same glasses when you're 55. Like that's what originalism is. They're looking at our modern world through the 1776 Constitution and applying that literally. And not like saying,
which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's a legal like ideology.
But literally everything from what 17? What did you say? 1776.
New York City. Pardon me. Are you Aaron Burr?
Okay. All right. 1776. You know, a lot of the songs in Hamilton start with some sort of date. So,
I know all of them now. Thank you, Hamilton. I did not remember them from school.
Let's do an episode for Hamilton, period. But as I say, everything from 1776 to now is different. Everything.
Yeah.
Like literally, physically, everything about the two different times are completely different. How can you even possibly be like, all of these things? We're just going to put them on 2021. They should match up.
The crazy thing is the 14th Amendment is newer. It's not from 1776. And they still, the amazing thing to me is I'm like, we gave you updated language, updated ideas. And thank God, like looking at all the things that happened after the 14th Amendment, like all the things that should have been passed and that have been trying to be passed for years and years, I am blown away. I am thanking God that the 14th Amendment was ever able to even it's amazing that it got in there. Like, it is actually like a supernatural blessing, because from the way that our government works in every other situation says that that would not happen. So it's amazing to me to watch these justices take new ideas that really are for the liberation of everyone and still apply a 1776 logic to it. And I'm like, did you completely miss? Like, so you're just going to bypass that liberty word. You're going to bypass for all. You're going to bypass, like, how it's just the way that they twist this language to make it fit this, like, hateful and limiting and oppressive belief system is just, I don't know, it makes me really sad.
Well, and I think, like, it's
what
too,
happened
it
to
just,
you? Why are you like
it
this?
Benefit, right, seriously. It just, it benefits the, it's because the people that, like, are warping it and making it, or, you know, like, interpreting the amendment through those eyes are the people that benefit from other people's oppression. So they, of course, they don't want to, like, they don't want to include anybody else, because apparently more rights for others equals less for you, which is wrong. But, like,
I was going to say, do they benefit from other people's oppression, though? Like, do they actually benefit, or are they afraid that they
probably both? I mean, probably both. Like, I think that they're like, they like whites, you know, white people benefit from white supremacist systems. Of course, we all do. We all being white people. But, like, you know, I think it's also a bunch of fear. It's fear mongering. If you go on, if you watch Fox News for 5 fucking seconds, all they do is put, like, instill fear into their listeners and their followers. And that's what people are doing. They're saying, if we give, I actually, on a discussion post of, in one of my classes, we were talking about a court case from, like, the 1800s. And it was when Myra Bradwell was petitioning the court to be able to become a lawyer. It was, like, you know, women's rights. We were trying to get it in there. And this one guy who I was, who was in my class said, well, you know, like, and I think he was just trying to make some kind of a opinion or, like, comparison. I don't know him. I don't know if this is his actual opinion. And he was like, I think that they were looking at it through, you know, if we allow women to do it, then what can we just allow, you know, children to do it and, like, whatever. And I was like, what are you saying? Like, where are you coming from? What is going on here? Because you can't, like, those aren't the same comparison. Someone's age has a very different, like, that has actual limits on what this person can do. Someone's sex, gender, like, sexual orientation, like, those things, race, those things all don't have any bearing on how a person does.
But that's always how their arguments start. Yeah, they're just like, these very, like, grand slippery slope arguments. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, to watch some of the footage that they show in Amend that's from, like, actual political leaders who actually said this out of their actual mouths is just, like, what?
It's pretty crazy.
Like, once again, none of these things will pass. We will, and I'm the curmudgeon, but whatever. Once again, none of these things will pass, and we will never see what we want to see until we put other people in power who actually give a shit about the people. Because we just have big ass industries and corporations, fossil fuel industries, pharmaceutical companies, these people who do not give a fuck. We could make life easier for so many people right now. Like, we could, just easier and less expensive for them to do it. They don't care. They don't want us to have it. It's like, I was just reading an article the other day about a light bulb in Italy. I think it's in Italy. Fact check me. I don't give a fuck. There's a light bulb somewhere, and it's, like, 200 years old, and apparently it hasn't burned out. There's a point to my story. They've turned it off one time. It's come back on, but it's lasted 200 years. In America, in a cheaper way, be able to create a filament for a light bulb that would last 200 years. We could still do that. We don't do that. We give people cheap ass filaments so that they can burn out, so that they can continue to play into a big corporation, mm-hmm. when we could literally just give people easier ways to live.
Yeah.
But they do that. These are the big corporations. They don't care. We could eat healthier. We could do all kinds of things. They could give these things to us easier so that we could live better. They don't want us to. They want us to pay into big corporations so that they can continue to be secretive and manipulative and powerful and rich, so they can play puppeteer. That's the fucking point, which is why a lot of these, you know, legislations and these things aren't going to pass, because you don't have the right kind of people.
Yeah.
I want to jump in really quick.
Yeah.
Alaska, I think that's a really good point. And one of the things that I've seen a lot of is most recently, the big debate, of course, is should we pass the CARES Act? And the CARES Act has all sorts of money going to all sorts of places, including a $15 minimum wage. And the question that's asked to people like you and I and others who are not us, most say, yes, we should. That includes a political party that would maybe even say that the current president isn't even the real president. Mm-hmm. And they still say yes. Majority say yes to passing this. However, their elected officials say no.
Yeah.
And the people's voice just isn't being heard. And that's the really sad part of democracy, is when you elect people who are supposed to be acting on behalf of their people, right? Electing individuals that are acting on their citizens. And then they don't even follow the will. Another piece of legislation that's really obvious is the universal background checks legislation. That's a 90% of the country agrees with a expansion of universal background checks. It hasn't passed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it won't get any Republican support probably. Even though 90% of the people want it to pass. So that's irritating. That's frustrating. That requires us to figure out how to find better candidates.
It really is
with the intention to help us.
And something you brought up, Zach, too, just about the $15 minimum wage is like, how long have we been talking about this? Like, how long have we been talking about this, for one? And two, Bernie Sanders, love, had to stop and gush for a second. Love him. But he made a really good point about the $15 minimum and about how a lot of, like, the issue is like, so many people want it. But the people who don't, again, power, they don't want people to be out of thing. If you don't have $15, you're not making enough money to live. Therefore, you have to get food stamps, fucking housing, right? You have to get all, you have to pay into the government to be able to get, right? Like, you have to be able to get
welfare. Most of the time you have to work multiple jobs.
They don't want people to. You give people $15 an hour, a $15 minimum wage, they're able to maybe get themselves out of that. They don't want them to get out of it. That's the exact point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And who are those people? Most of them are Black and brown people.
Yeah.
Majority. Yeah. Right? Black and brown people.
Oh, they've made sure of it.
Yeah.
They've made sure that they're mostly Black and brown people.
Right? That's what happens. And so you have to, again, Zach, you hit the nail on the head when we're talking about bringing in the right people. You have to bring in the right people. And it's going outside of just the Republican, Democrat, whatever. Fuck the parties. But who has the interest of the people?
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the party, what are they talking about? What are they saying? What do they actually believe in? And what are their actions? What are they doing to make that happen? You know, you have to, like, really watch people and see what they're doing.
Yeah, but then people would have to really pay attention. People would have to really pay attention.
Right.
They would have to really not just trust. And I'm not even talking about, and sorry, I'm going to finish one of these sentences.
Real quick, I just want to hop in there, Casey. People are paying attention to the things that they're pissed off about. You know, I mean, people are paying attention when they have shit to complain about, but they don't want to get involved enough to be able to, like, actually sit down and listen to somebody enough to, like, decide, oh, this is a good candidate, and now I'm going to work for that person so that they can work for me. We got to be able to work to put those people on there. You can't just complaining about it and not.
It seems to me that a lot more of young people and liberals are paying a little bit more attention and are definitely, sometimes have way too many bones to pick, in my opinion. But
cancel culture.
But when we talk about the right, and we've talked about this before, that a lot of the ideology is just passed down. They're not even paying attention to who's in the seat, as long as there is a Republican in the seat, as long as there is a conservative in the seat, you know? Yep. And so we would have to somehow upend that culture, the culture of just essentially, like, they're a gang. Like, it doesn't matter.
They're a gang.
It doesn't matter who's like, name is on the moniker. It's just like, who's your set? Mm-hmm. Okay, you in my set? Cool. Like, I'm for you. And you know, legit, like, it's crazy to apply gang logic to it, but that's exactly how it works.
What scares me, like, a lot is just that everything always seems to be somehow hand in hand with racism within our country. Like, everything stems back
it's
to
built
this.
On racism. Not,
right, we not, never by, got over not by it. Coincidence. That's what I was going to say. Not by coincidence. It is the foundation, is the bones of this country. But how do you overcome that when you have such a divided, like, I'm literally having whole ass I'm having whole ass fits over this, because I don't know the answer. I don't know that we'll see it in our lifetime, but like, I just hope, I like put out manifesting out like hope that somebody down the line can fix this shit, because
yeah,
I don't know how you uproot that. Do you know what I mean?
I don't either.
You would have to go through every fucking place in our country and then some through Europe and everything to like, because it's not just us.
Mm-hmm. No.
You know what I mean? It's not just us.
It's not.
And how
the people who started America came from somewhere.
Right.
Like that ideology wasn't birthed here. It came here. And then they built it on top of it. And the half of the country was very upset with the Civil War, was so upset with Reconstruction that it failed, was so upset with the 14th Amendment that it almost didn't happen. And so upset even then that they've almost made it obsolete. Like it's there, but they've robbed it of most of its power. So like, we are still fighting, and I think we've said this before in a past pod, we are still fighting the Civil War. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that was because even when we did fight the Civil War, it wasn't about equality initially. Like, it really wasn't. Slavery ended up being a thing that had to be about, like, you know, it was easier to put the face of slavery on that to justify all the deaths that were happening. But it's not like people in our government were ever really like, my whole heart is in abolition. Nobody. Mm-hmm. Like that wasn't the ideology.
Even now we have different obstacles too, Casey. Like it is more muddled now. Now we have things like, you know, technology and social media and things that just brainwash people away from like the real purpose or like what is really happening. It's hard to be like, hey guys, we're fighting the Civil War. Like we actually should maybe take a look at this and like actually do something about it. But everyone's so addicted to their own ego shit. Like we have such, our generation's so ego driven. We're like about ourselves and our devices. We can't even fucking look up to talk to our family member across the table. It's like that is the reality of it right now.
But you know who gives me hope?
Anyways, I just went off on some rant, but yeah.
No, I mean,
episode, I'm going to rant about technology.
I think we're all kind of ranting a little bit today. Listen, I didn't realize we had so much in our spirit.
Love us.
We're all pissed off, man.
The wizard, do you have a rant?
Yeah. I want to say something about the $15 minimum wage. A guy who I love, his name is Dan Price. He's actually from Seattle.
Oh, Dan Price is cool.
He like kind of upended a lot of the ideas of what it takes to be a CEO and wanted to pay all of his people who started a minimum of $70,000 and certain things he just kind of wanted to like do and then be like, I don't know if it was like he did it as like an experiment or as like, I believe so much in my business or maybe a combination of everything, you know, but he was just like, I'm going to do this because I'm going to, and it's going to work because I believe it will. And then it worked really well. So he's like, I'm just going to keep doubling down on that. And so he keeps kind of talking about, he's great on Twitter. You guys should all follow him because he's just so sensible. Dan Price, Seattle. And he's just like a goofy looking white guy with long hair. I love it. With American flags in the background on his profile.
Which is stressful.
And he's just a great dude. But he says this is great. I want to kind of talk about this. He goes, quote, $15 an hour will increase prices. Then he goes, Costco pays workers well. Same prices as Walmart, Sam's Club, In-N-Out. Pays workers well, same prices as McDonald's, Best Buy, Target, Home Depot, raised pay 20% in the pandemic, same prices. All five pay over $15 an hour. They made $15 billion in profit in 2020. Mm-hmm. And he goes, funny, when there's a plan to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour, big business says, oh, we'll have no choice but to raise prices. But when they got $1.9 trillion in corporate tax breaks, not one big business said, good news, we're able to lower prices. Right? So
wow, yeah.
I love following him. He makes so much sense. And I think what's awesome is that because we've been pushing this so much, you're now seeing big corporate brands that we like, that we use, that are available to lots of Americans, are changing on their own. Target didn't have to go to $15 an hour. Costco didn't have to, you know what I mean? These companies didn't really have to, but there was push and there was an excitement from a base and certain regions were all in on that. And that's helped push it there.
Yeah.
If we were like $11, maybe they would have gone to 11, right? But what I'm getting at is like, there is stuff happening out there. Corporations are actually doing more today than government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know it sounds terrible in Alaska. I want to hear your thought on that. But like, I really think that like with our push, the progressive push in particular, is changing the corporate landscape because we buy shit that they need us to buy from them.
Yeah, I was going to say, no, I agree with you. I think it just obviously, I think some specific brands are ahead of it. I think the ones that are ahead of it are the smarter ones because this is the future. So the sooner you jump onto it, you know, when all these other people expire, is that what we're calling
yes.
it?
Yes. I was just, I mean, I was over it today. I was just about to say die.
Casey's like, when all right. Broke.
may expire hopefully quickly. Anyways, no, but I was just gonna say, like, yeah, they're gonna be gone in the future. These kids, they may be in their devices, but they're gonna be fucking whizzes technologically. They're gonna be, yeah, like, blah, 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 you know what I mean, doing all this stuff, and they're gonna be ahead of it. Hopefully they'll be ahead of it, and hopefully they'll have seen a tree and want to save the earth too. But I think is it Chevrolet who said that they were gonna go all, maybe it was Chevy or it was Ford, one of those big GM. Truck GM maybe said that they were gonna go, one of those guys, look it up, but one of those big truck brands.
Don't come to us for electric facts. Leave us alone.
I think it was 2023 or something, which is like,
yeah, that's soon. That's crazy.
Which is like, that's soon, and like, good for them, because think about where half of those, you know, those trucks are being sold out in the middle of, you know, like across the country, not in places like LA, but you know, in these rural areas, and like, they're gonna go electric. I'm like, yeah, that's bold. That's fucking bold, and I love it. I'm like, yeah, that's why they're gonna be ahead. That's why they're gonna make more profit. And I think like Target, they're doing really cool stuff. You know, there's certain brands. I'm not a huge fan of Walmart. I think it depends on, like, they're very crooked in a lot of ways. They may pay their minimum wage, but they have a lot of shit that they treat their employees like shit. And we can do a whole episode about Walmart. But, and the amount of money that they've pocketed over the years is insane without as much give back to community. I wish that they were a better company and not as corrupt. But that's where I have an issue with, is the corruptness, the like shit underneath that we don't see what they're tied to, mm-hmm. you know, putting their money in political people. Do you know what I mean? And now that those people are tied to them, who are tied to them, who are tied to them, and you can't even keep track of that shit. No one's going to tell you. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, it's so, I don't even know if I answered your question.
Well,
Zach,
I think that just also comes
you.
To like legislate, like we have to start regulating corporations. We haven't been like, there are so many, I mean, yes. like Facebook, it's not regulated, and that's like a whole other yeah. beast, right? Like, we've talked about this before on the podcast, but like, there has to be regulations for these things, or people get taken advantage of. But I also think too, like, just if you get anything from this podcast, just like, understand that like, where you put your dollar, like, really matters. So
it does
pay,
matter.
Like, buy, it use matters. Companies that are like down with the causes and care about their workers and do stuff. Don't shop
like, do
fast fashion. Like, fast fashion's not right. the business. Like, and we're all guilty of it. Nobody is out here like clean and clear. Yeah. Like, we have
yeah,
all bought.
Point.
I'm so guilty.
Like, we've all
you make a really good point, Paige. Like for example, Amazon, right? So convenient. And in the middle of, listen, that Bezos is raked in, I don't even know how much fucking
he
money.
Has because he know he's.
It's ugh. Like
guys,
it's like
can
gross.
I, okay, real
and
fast.
That's the thing about regulation.
I have a thing about Amazon. So they,
yeah,
okay, they. Are like huge.
I can't
right?
see your face.
I know.
But I'm
laughing. I'm sorry. Here, I'll put it on for a second. So, Amazon okay. has this commercial out right now, and it's like a worker from Amazon, and I think they have like multiple versions.
Tiffany and I talk about this all the time.
And it's like,
yes.
And it's like, we've over this last year delivered 12 million meals to people, and all I can think in my head is like, that's it. You're Amazon. You deliver stuff to everybody's house all the time, all day long. You have raked in. Like bajillions of dollars, and all yeah. you could muster was 12 million meals.
All I'm thinking is, did they actually do it? Because people who do that don't put it on a fucking commercial.
Right. Well, I don't know. That I don't
I'm
know.
Like,
well,
I just know that
they know that they're taking a lot of heat.
I was
right
like,
now,
right,
so that's
but
why
look,
putting it on
like,
the commercial.
I don't know. Like, maybe I'm just being callous, but like 12 million feels like a low number for one of the
it
biggest.
It's so funny that
successful.
We all had different thoughts. We all had because my thought when I saw that commercial, I was no, I wasn't like wow. I was like, did you do it personally? Like you. You want because they overwork
Jeff Bezos,
their workers.
Did you go to someone's door and deliver
no,
me?
No, their yet? Workers are so their workers are so overworked. So yes. I'm like, this poor woman delivered 12 million meals by herself.
She
lived
like,
in that's the last thing she needed to do.
Of those meals,
and was she making $15 an hour? I wonder. No. I
like,
know.
Right, that commercial
shit.
Seemed to me like a cry for help. She was like, I'm
right. She was like,
12 million.
I wasn't even. I wasn't even like, talking about her. Like I was mostly talking about like Amazon as a company, like Amazon as a corporation. Like 12 million
no,
was all
right,
you could
right,
muster.
Right, yeah.
Like that. Was
no,
it.
I hear you. I was just saying it was funny because our minds all went to different, very different places.
She was like, I actually brought these meals to myself because I don't get paid enough to eat.
Her feet are like blistered. She's like twitching.
They only show her knees up because you don't even know if her shoes.
Her shoes have been walked through.
Oh yeah,
man.
We We had three different perspectives, and none of them were positive.
We're sick.
So like, just, you know, think about where you put your dollar, man. Like, it really does matter. Yeah. Buy from small businesses. Buy from like businesses that aren't corporations. And I know that like it's really impossible to do that 100%, unfortunately, in the economy that we are in. But be more aware.
Really
be more
hard.
Aware of the food you consume, the drinks. Like, my parents love Yuengling beer. And it's like it's my dad's favorite. And he found out they were Trump supporters. It's like, I don't know, it's like probably like a lager. It's nothing exciting. But he loves it. He loves it. And he found out they were Trump supporters, and he's like, I'm not drinking it. Like, I'm not drinking this anymore. So like, those kinds of protests really matter.
Love you, Dad.
Brett forever.
Yeah. Thanks, Dad.
But those kinds of things matter because
I'm having a hard time.
People start, man. It's okay. It happens. It takes a second to like
talk to us, Casey. It's okay.
But just like,
but also I know that there's a lot of people that are like, you know, sometimes switching over to small businesses is hard because they're more expensive and you maybe don't get as much quantity of things that you may need. And I totally get that. I can't support all the small businesses as much as I would love to. You know what I mean? I'm on a fucking budget. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm on unemployment right now. I can't just go throw as much as I would love to. So if you can't afford to always like buy maybe their products, maybe there's another way you can help. You can reach
out to
people.
Isn't it also just so crazy though that if people were paid more money, they'd be able to spend more money, and then the economy would actually just like function better? Isn't that a weird
crazy how that works?
Just
crazy how like logic works.
It's so weird. And I also just want to say that $15 is like the minimum. Like, it shouldn't be like the way that $15 is like spends nowadays. It should be like $23 an hour. Like, that should
it
be.
It really should. I was like, the fact that we're livable. Even arguing over $15 an hour is so sad, because that's actually not really a livable wage.
No,
it's not. Not
it's
at
crazy.
All. Not at all.
Like, truly, in Los Angeles, like $15 an hour is nothing. It's nothing.
No, it's not.
So like, I just don't understand, like, and it also.
Yeah, when I think of $15 an hour, I'm like, would I take that job?
No.
Like, I really think about it. And I'm like,
I got offered a bartending gig for $15 an hour, and I was like, absolutely not. I've been doing this for years.
You're like, no,
sorry,
dude, I can't live.
Like,
I can't actually
raise
live.
Raise
so.
It. I don't care. But I mean, it's also really important to know that, like, congressional salaries increase with inflation. They take inflation into account, and they don't want to do that for us. There are people willing to fight for us, but we also have to like fight with them. And and like, I mean, we like circling back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the podcast, you have to do your research on your elected officials. And the you know, if you are in West Virginia, Joe Manchin, get him out of here. Like, I mean, replace him with another Democrat, please. do not give me a Republican. But like, Joe Manchin thinks that it's too much. $15 is too much. It's too much. And, you know, like, same with Kristen Sinema. She's just very conservative. I actually don't mind her a lot of the time, but like, sometimes she gets really like bogged down with rules and stuff. But she's in Arizona. So the next Arizona election, if you live in Arizona and you are like a passionate person about this stuff, get involved. Get involved in your communities. That's the only way that we are going to create an actual democracy and create people and like create lives for better lives for people. Wow, I just had a stroke. Okay, off my soapbox.
Create lives for better people.
Great lives for better people. Honestly.
I mean,
am I wrong?
There's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're not.
I think just to be like a little bit of like devil's advocate here.
No,
I understand.
This is a devil's advocate free zone. I'm just kidding.
I know, right? But I can understand with an extremely unique and complex country that we live in, with multiple, you know, all these states that we have, with all of their differences from cost of living, right, to economic disparities and populations of people, like, it is very, very unique. It's a really cool country. It makes America, I think, one of the coolest out there. We have such vibrancy across the entire, you know, country. So I understand the problem of a federal minimum wage trying to balance what, Paige, you were saying about living in LA with someone who's living in West Virginia, which has a completely different cost of living. But I think the big point that I think is super important is that we're having this argument or this conversation because the largest, wealthiest corporations are paying that minimum wage. Mm-hmm. Like they go, that is my minimum. And Chris Rock apparently has this great sketch where he's like, they would pay you less if they could.
Yeah. Right? Like,
there's not like, they're not looking to pay you more. And so it is like a careful balance of being like, $15 is the minimum Walmart should be paying.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right? For anybody working there. If that means someone in West Virginia can buy a house, then that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Right? But if that means in LA, that person can hire childcare for one day a week, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't have the dollars figured out. But like, that balance is tough to, we can't make that balance really work with a federal minimum
I
wage.
See you. I hear what you're saying, but I also think that that to me just shows how weird and messed up our government is, because the population of West Virginia is 1.7 million people. I'm not saying, or 1.8, kind of closer rounding up. I'm not saying that they don't matter or that they are like finances are not matter, but we cannot let the other 100 and, you know, some 30 million other people starve or have to work these like multiple jobs because they can't like function that way. Like there just has to be, I guess they're just, you're right. There has to be like a balance, but it can't stay at 725 so that fucking 1.8 million people and, you know, can function while the rest of us totally. All are working our, like they're, you know, single mothers are working six jobs, can't see their kids and then getting arrested for it. Like, that's just not a thing.
I would also argue that there's certain cities, like the big cities, like Los Angeles, Miami, New York, these places, right?
Where York, $15 an hour living in New York. That's a joke.
Right. But this is that's my point though, is like, I would say, and this is just from my own experience, so you guys can chime in, but just that I think the more liberal cities and like having the idea of like, yeah, 15 hours is a joke. Like we all live in these places, so we know like that's silly. But I haven't worked a job that was $15 an hour here because I wouldn't take that job. I don't even know that I would ever was ever offered $15 an hour.
I was
in LA. Mm-hmm. Right. But in like a majority of like, I mean, I don't know. Again, this is up for conversation, I guess, up for like debate on it. But these bigger cities, yeah, if we make everything $15, then at least everybody has to start on that place, right? Everybody has to start at $15. But places in like LA, I don't know that they would dare. I mean, are they really gonna dare to be like, well, it's $15 minimum, so that's what it is? But no one can live here. I think they know that. I think by state, they're gonna have to, or city by city, they're gonna have to be like, yeah, well, people can't survive here. Like, this is what it is, and we're gonna have to offer more money than 15. But people shouldn't starve in other states. Mm-hmm. That's, I mean, my point.
I think we are all saying the same thing. And Zach, I like understand what you were saying, that like, you know, like they are different, but the federal minimum wage, it just can't be $7.25 anymore. Like that's insane.
That's crazy.
Who can live on that?
Oh, I agree. No, I'm just merely saying why it's tough to get everyone on board from these other states, especially Manchin and them, is they go, I have a small business friend, right? That's paying, let's say $8 an hour. And that's plenty for that community to do well. And so it's like, we do have to balance that. But to me, it isn't about the small business paying $8 an hour in West Virginia. It's about Walmart getting away with paying $8.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get at, is like, you have to create these laws, because the ones that are exploiting it the most, that are destroying the fabric of the country, mm-hmm. are the ones that are actually, that will be the ones that will be taking the burden off of programs like Medicare and Medicaid and food stamps.
And that's not even without any benefits or anything. $8 an hour. Like, you know how many hours
you
have to fucking work? Who like survive.
Don't even get me on the fact
you don't
that
get
like
medical, you don't get debt, like, you know, right. There's no one, you're not paying into anything. There's not, you're not getting anything out of that. You're
the fact that nobody
to die.
Everybody that's should get benefits. Mm-hmm. Everybody right, should get right, benefits. Right, right, that's so.
Well, but they also that, just
isn't that, correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't that privatized though? Isn't it like by company they have to like pay into those? You know, they have to pay into whether they want to give their employees those kinds of things, right?
Yeah, it's just like insurance companies, but insurance should not be tied to your employment. Like, when we lost our jobs,
I
had great benefits. I had a cushy ass job, and I lost it, and I lost my benefits, and I, you know, during a pandemic, I've had no
universal health care.
Exactly. And so many artists as well. Like if you were a member of a union and you earned, which is another thing that I really don't like, as an artist, that you have to like aren't we doing enough earning? Aren't we going into all these rooms and being told no?
Okay.
Enough. Isn't that enough?
My God.
But for us to have to be like, well, if I can just book this, you can't do the art for the art's sake because you're like, I got to book this job where to maintain my health care.
Right. Oh, preach.
So many people, so many artists lost their health care during this time because you literally cannot work. And during a time, even when you can work, it's almost like, it's an accomplishment when you work enough that year to get your health care through either of the year. And that is so sad. That is like
not to mention like the emotional trauma of like the negative connotation attached to this industry, in the sense that if you're not in this industry, you don't understand it. But then we get hit over the head with picking this industry because
absolutely,
it's like, why would you do that to yourself? You're gonna be a starving artist forever.
Yeah, and I dare you to even
be in this industry.
I know, and I dare you to get an opportunity. It's so hard to get an opportunity job too that will provide you benefits as well, because usually that'll be a full time job, and then you don't have time to be an artist. Like
right.
I need a drink.
My heart hurts.
11:30. Anybody got tequila?
I do. I can send you some. I'll throw it through.
Wow, you guys, we really went in today.
Honestly,
I didn't know.
I think maybe we needed it. I feel like we needed.
I didn't know what we were going to discuss, but I feel better.
Good.
We needed this catharsis. Mm-hmm. To wrap us up. I want to, let's go around and all say something that we like learned this week.
Oh, Jesus.
Learned. Sorry. It doesn't have to be big. And mine are going to be half done because I'm terrible at remembering names.
It can be anything though?
Yeah, anything.
Anything we learned.
So I'll start because I'm going to butcher it and that'll make everybody else feel better.
How could you butcher?
And well, maybe Paige, you can help me. I'm trying to remember names from people that I learned about in Amend.
Okay.
So there was the man who he kind of originated the idea of peaceful protest, which Martin Luther King adopted. But nobody knows his name because he was openly gay and black. Mm-hmm. And they sort of pushed him to the back of the movement. Like he literally, I still can't remember his name.
Sadly, I wanted to input bus in that space you left.
Hang on, I'll find it because I know I can see his face in my head.
I thought that's what you were gonna say. That's immediately what happened in my mind, which is so like
fucked up. They moved him to the back. Like it's just he really got like no notoriety, even though it was a lot of his ideology that ended up being adopted and making
his name was
so
his weird. Name was Bayard Rustin.
Bayard Ooh. Rustin. Ooh. Bayard. It's such a good name, too.
I like that
Come
name.
Come on, Bayard.
Yes, with the glasses.
Yes. Yeah. I just wanted to speak his name because that story broke my heart. And also, another name that I'm not going to remember, but Paige. The black lady lawyer who was super – I can't even say all of the stuff she did – because there's just too much. Like she was fighting for everything from civil rights to women's rights to like, and she originated so much of it. And she, I want to say, oh gosh, what is the black?
I think
Thurgood Marshall.
Was it
Thurgood Marshall used a lot of her.
Charlotte Ray? Was that it? I don't know if that
doesn't
was.
Sound
I know it doesn't
right.
Feel
I feel
right
like
either.
It started with a D. I can't remember her name. But she was brilliant, and I will look it up for next week if we can't get to it today. And she was also probably one of the first, like, at least documented black, perhaps trans men. Like, she tried to get access to testosterone later in her life and actually went to court for it and was denied 3 different times and, like, wrote that maybe she was one of, like, God's great experiments, you know, just like being so ahead of her time to even think to, because I mean, trans people have always existed, but to even like be ahead of her time in the way to think like, no, I want to get on testosterone. I want to be in the proper body and to go to court for it. She was just such a trailblazer. And I think really, really didn't get her roses as evidenced by the fact that I can't remember her name.
And I can't find her on the internet either.
I know. Who knows what her pronouns would have been? I mean, she went by she, her for her life, but that was because of the time. So who knows? But I will definitely find her name for next time and so I can speak it. But I just learned about so many amazing black people who did so much. And yeah, that was cool.
I love that. Yeah, guys, watch Amend. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, I gotta watch that. So good.
I'm just writing it in.
Alaska, what'd you learn?
Oddly enough, actually, this is not odd at all. I'm in very much of an Aquarius in the sense that I go off into La La Land and down rabbit holes of like lots of shit. Like I start researching lots of shit. I'm a history freak. And if for anybody who does know me knows that I'm a Janis Joplin freak. Love Janis Joplin. She's my favorite singer of all time. And I was actually looking at Billie Holiday Wikipedia, and then I went to Bessie Smith and all these people just like went all the way down this rabbit hole of like how they were connected and you know what I mean? Then what I learned was a ton of shit, but what I want to talk about is Big Mama Thornton. Speaking of trailblazers, who doesn't get a lot of recognition, and also a lot of these female black artists at this time died with not very much money or royalties at all because they didn't have access to any of that and people screwed them over basically.
Yeah.
Big Mama Thornton was one of those people specifically for like, I mean, people know Hound Dog, which is probably more famous because of Elvis, but she was actually the first recording artist to do that song. And people just don't know, like a lot of people just don't know that.
Yes.
I knew that, but the one thing I loved between her and Janis Joplin, there's like this bridge here that I learned about. I was super excited because I knew everything about her. So when I found something new, I was super fucking excited. Big Mama Thornton wrote and the original song Ball and Chain. If you don't know what that song is, look it up. Ball and Chain. And Janis Joplin was a huge, she loved black female artists. Like those were a lot of her influence as the artist that she was. Not being a black female artist, but the first probably white female artist of her time to sound the way that she did. Like women of that time did not sound like her. But she loved Big Mama Thornton. Big Mama Thornton. I don't know why I questioned her name just now. And she did, Janis Joplin got noticed and famous, and was first signed by a label because she covered Ball and Chain by Big Mama Thornton at the Monterey Pop Festival of 67. And I was so bothered by that for a long time. Cause I was like, oh God, I love Janis. Like, why would she like take this black woman song? And like, da-da. But I actually found it today that she actually asked permission to do it.
Oh.
From Big Mama Thornton, and had Big Mama Thornton open some of her acts in her music, and gave her a percentage of royalties. So I was just like, oh. And for people that don't know, Bessie Smith died in like a horrific accident, and all this stuff happened to her. But she died without a headstone. No one bought her a headstone. Janis Joplin and Bessie Smith's a woman who worked for her or whatever both pitched in and purchased a headstone to put for Bessie Smith. And I just love that story because Janis was like a white woman of her time where there was like a lot of people stealing black people's music. And for her to like kind of go back and like give back and make sure that those people were taken care of.
Yeah.
I think it's like a big thing for me. Like I was it just is. Like, wow,
that's,
you know,
awesome.
You know, that's she so came nice. From a little town in Port Arthur, Texas, where she was the first person to be like,
come on, Texas.
Black people shouldn't be like, I think that everybody should be integrated. And people threw pennies
wow,
at her.
That's
her
amazing name. That she came from Texas and felt that way at that time.
Yeah, really she was like the first person to like really do that in her town, her little tiny oil town, you know, that people were like, there was I think her sister said an active KKK branch in their town.
Oh yeah, Port Arthur.
So, right. So for her to be that kind of, and of course she came, burned quickly and died very quickly, but I think she was, again, one of those people who's ahead of her time. Anyways, I'll stop blabbering. I could go on and on a whole episode about Janis Joplin, so we'll just move on. But so much I learned.
I'm happy that you learned that.
I love that. Wow.
What about you, Paige? What'd you learn?
Honestly, I feel right now like...
We're going to turn the page to Paige.
Sorry. Thank you for circling back just to get that one.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you for...
I really needed it. I honestly feel like, you know when like someone's like, oh, you sing a song, and then you like have never heard music all of a sudden? That's kind of how I feel right now. I think I just read... like in school so much these things that my brain is exploding. But there was one thing that I thought about while we were talking and I was listening to you talk. I didn't know that after slavery was abolished, there was like a time period of like a few years before Jim Crow laws got in that there were actually like black justices and black jurors and everything. Like
Reconstruction.
There was like integration and all of those things. And I guess that like my brain had just kind of like skipped over that portion of history class.
Yeah, because it was short-lived and ended in fire and turmoil and poverty.
it didn't end great. But I didn't really know that period was like that it existed. I kind of just thought that it like went from enslavement to ending it, then to like Jim Crow. But there's honestly like a
that's
lot
deliberate.
Of, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thousand.
That's because it's not in our text or wasn't in our textbooks.
Yeah.
The Daughters of the Confederacy made sure of it.
Fucking psychos. And I also learned, this has nothing to do with history or anything like that, but I learned that Tuesday is my favorite day for podcasts because all of the like crazy podcasts that I listen to release new episodes on Tuesdays. So I have like a bunch of like conspiracy podcasting. Theory podcasts, not like conspiracy theories, but they talk about conspiracy theorists right. And like crazy crime podcasts. And unfortunately, I have a lot of homework, so I can't sit here and listen to podcasts, but I'll find a way. And that's what I've learned this week.
I believe in you.
Thank you so much. Nice. Thank you. I appreciate it. I really do.
I was watching Finding Your Roots and Chris Rock's episode. He finds out that one of his ancestors was one of those Supreme Court, was one of the justices.
Wow.
During Reconstruction and actually won a second term, and that's when shit turned in his city.
Oh my God.
And they like got kicked out and he ended up in abject poverty. It was like heartbreaking, but it was so cool. He was like, had I known this as a kid in the projects that I had an ancestor who like scrapped like this and like brought himself up, it would have made my idea of what I could be so much broader.
Totally.
And that broke my heart because, man, black people getting ripped away from their history, it like so it matters so much. It was just I can't get into it, but watch Finding Your Roots. It's so good.
Wiz, what'd
you learn?
You guys all had such great things that you learned this week. I feel like I have nothing interesting to add.
What? I also learned that Wizard can take a kick-ass picture.
Oh, yeah. Well,
we already knew that.
I had beautiful subjects, so that was easy.
Every picture.
I'm about to come to you for headshots.
Every picture that the wizard takes is Alaska? In portrait mode.
Thank you,
every
Paige.
Single picture is in portrait mode. It's honestly.
I said I'm going to come to you for headshots.
Okay. So I was gonna say something I just learned this morning that I thought was really awesome. Was that if you watch TV with subtitles or captions, it helps the reading development of young kids. Oh. So if you ever have, if you're ever watching television, if kids you know or your own kids or whatever are watching TV, you should always have the captions on. Because it's
that
just
makes
constantly
so much sense.
Yes. It's so much sense, right?
I've heard that a lot for people who are learning other languages.
Yeah.
Like people who were like, you know,
also right. So like caption your fucking content. Caption your content. Caption
oh,
your
wait,
content.
And that brings up Jane Fonda. I learned all this from the Golden Globes. When Jane Fonda won, I think, her Academy Award in 1979, the Academy would not pay for, did not know how to, or whatever, to do closed captioning. So she either learned sign language or already knew sign language and signed her acceptance speech.
That's awesome.
Jane Fonda, man.
Jane Fonda forever. Jane Fonda forever.
I gotta know.
I love her. And I watched her documentary. And at the beginning, I was like, wow, this is very privileged and white. And you really get on my nerves. But then she grew into such a badass.
She's the best.
Wait, what's her documentary called? I wanna watch that.
Becoming Jane. I think, or something
Becoming
like
Jane.
That.
Okay, cool.
And it's got multiple parts. And she does. She starts off with this very charmed life. And she's like, I just stumbled. I didn't know what I wanted to be. I stumbled down the beach because that's where Lee Strasberg lived. And I just
were like,
went to the back of his acting class. And I was like, bitch. Like, we out
here
working.
I am trying to work to get
help. We out
here. Thank you.
Scrapping to survive. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, I don't know. I just fell into it. Mm-hmm. But then she like.
I like how she's British now all of a sudden too. That's great.
Yeah, I don't know. That's how privileged people sound
that's
to me.
Good. No, I know.
And
I just stumbled into the studio.
Into the Strasberg studio.
Oh, my goodness.
Studio. but then she used her platform, which she like excelled to like very quickly for so much badassery. So, I mean, if you're going to have that privilege to excel that quickly, you better use it for badassery.
Right.
So can't hold that against her.
Also watch Grace and
for a little bit.
Little plug.
Yeah.
I love Grace.
It's very cute.
It's so funny.
You guys, I think we're done. I think that's it. I think we did it. Thank you for another wonderful episode. Thank you guys for listening. Please subscribe, share, comment, rate. I'm missing one. What is it?
Dyke. Oh, my God.
Like, dang it. I did so well last time. I'm sorry. Do all of that. Do all of that. Do all of that. And we'll see you next time. See you
next week. Do all of that.
Bye. Bye, y'all.
Bye. Oh. I was also surprised.
I was gonna go bad, 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 but like, I don't know.
I almost broke into Hairspray, so there's a difference.
Okay, we have to cut.
I was just like, bye. I woke up
today. We have to cut the podcast.
I always
cut the podcast. I can't cut the podcast before we listen.
I don't know how that.
Laska, I want to see you be good Tracy Turnblad so hard.
Then my shoulders come in.
You're the only Tracy Turnblad I want to see.
Literally.
You're it.
I'm down. I feel like I'm down for
and
it.
And then can I be her friend?
Penny.
What was her friend?
Yes.
Penny?
Yes.
Penny?
Penny. Cool. But then the play doesn't make sense because we're black. So.
That's okay. We'll find a way around it. It's
fine. Yeah.
We'll work it out.
We'll just be all the parts.
It's a one-woman show.
Okay, bye.
Bye, guys. Oh, are we still recording?
No. Sorry. Bye.
I don't think we're recording anymore, but we are.
Sorry, bye, Wizard, y'all. Turn this off right now.
Okay.
He's so mischievous.
Bye, guys.
Is that the right word?
Okay, bye.
Catch our hairspray on Clubhouse. We're going to do a Clubhouse hairspray.
Stop talking. Clubhouse hairspray? We should.
Where Casey and Alaska play every part.
Yeah, we
do. That would actually be fun.
Okay, we're still fucking recording. I'm gonna kill Zach.